call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Monday, February 10th.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
2014.
24 through
20. 2014. All right. And with this, I would like to open a work session on House Bill 4133. Erin, can you please review the measure and amendment?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4133 was heard last week on Monday the 3rd. The measure directs Legislative Council and the Department of Justice to review statute laws and identify those that are outdated, obsolete, duplicative, unconstitutional, or contrary to federal law. It authorizes Legislative Council in consultation with the Department of Justice to prepare measures for odd-numbered year regular session to repeal or amend statutes so identified. Requires report, explain reason for statutory modification to accompany each measure and to be entered in legislative record. Limits amendment of measures to content related to reason statutes are being repealed or amended. Sunsets on January 2nd, 2018. There is an emergency clause on the measure. You do have a -1 amendment. The -1 amendment removes language and conditions permitting Legislative Council and Oregon Department of Justice to determine statutes as unconstitutional under Oregon law or United States Constitution or preempted by federal law. There is a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact, but no statement was issued on both the original measure and the amendment.
Okay. So we have a -1 amendment. Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -1 amendment to House Bill 4133.
Vice Chair Hicks moves to adopt the -1 amendment to 4133. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay. Great. Is there objection to the amendment? All right. If not, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4133 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Hicks moves House Bill 4133 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Berger.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a line in the sand. I know that I will be leaving the legislature, but this bill crosses a line in the sand for me that I think is significant, and I want it on the record. I'm aware that there are obsolete and outdated and duplicative laws within our system. I'm also aware that we have a system for dealing with them. It's called the legislature. And the governor certainly has the power under ORS 171.130 to pre-session file any number of bills that would serve the purpose described here of cleaning up obsolete or outdated legislation. And I think you should be encouraged to do so. But the language within this particular bill gives him extra power to do this, including outside of 171.130. In other words, the same power that I have during the legislative session to submit legislation. But then it one-ups in Section 2. It gives him more power than I have. It says not only can he submit this legislation, but he can't be gotten stuffed. Now, I've been here 12 years, and I've written a lot of bills, and somebody could always gut and stuff them. And it's happened once or twice. So not only does this bill cross the line in its intent in that it gives the governor more power than I'm comfortable with within the legislative venue to direct my lawyer, legislative counsel, to do things, but then it doubles down and gives him even more power than I have. I object strongly. My words will be forceful on the floor about this bill, and I would caution you, all of you, going into the future, there is a separation of powers issue within this bill. His power is even greater than mine by this bill. And if it were something really important that we are all focused on, I'd say, okay, maybe we can go there. But these things have always been there, these outdated, obsolete, and duplicative laws. We deal with them every session. And if they are the most important thing, then we should be making them a top priority, but not by giving the governor more power to reach into the legislative branch and do his work from within the legislative branch. There is a separation of powers issue here. I object, and I object strongly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. Anytime the legislature passes a bill, there's always the possibility that an agency, or in this case, Legislative Council and the Department of Justice, might do something that's not contemplated. I think the Section 1 is pretty clear that this only relates to, or is only connected with, outdated, obsolete, or duplicative laws. The efforts that I have seen over the last number of sessions where Legislative Council has essentially acted as a scrivener to clean up statutes has been very carefully done so as not to affect policy. There are always at least a couple of members of the legislature, even when these bills are pretty fat, who are willing to sit down and read them all with care and ask questions about them. I know several bills that have come up under a similar kind of approach that have elicited questions, usually handled informally, but sometimes in the committee process, to make certain that that's what the bills are limited to. I hate to make the additional argument that I'm going to make, and that is that we can write a statute that says no gutting stuff, but if the House rules aren't there, it can be gutting stuffed anyway. The statutes do not govern what future legislatures do in their own procedures. I know that's not a fun argument to make because the bill actually says that this is what it would do, but I think it's a nullity. That piece of it is in effect. And then finally, the final piece here for me is the point of doing it in the first place. In a perfect world with huge amounts of time and attention, we would keep our statutes up to snuff all the time. We wouldn't have 21 volumes. We'd have, or maybe 22, I forget how many we have now. We'd have 10 or 8 or some lesser number. And they would be no fatter than the ones we have now, but they would take up a lot less room. But we don't live in that perfect world. Having a couple of smart lawyers whose job it is, among other things, to review statutes for obsolescence being outdated or duplicative, I think is a fine idea. With a sunset date of 18, that gives us a couple of long sessions to see whether it actually works or not. I don't want to take without due consideration the arguments made by Representative Berger. I think those are arguments that we have to consider when we delegate any kind of authority to anybody. But I think this is one of those that's pretty carefully limited. And in that case, I intend to support the bill. Thank you.
Any other comments? Representative Kemah.
I guess we've always had a process of updating. And I guess I'm not understanding why this change is appropriate or necessary. And I wonder if there's someone that could inform me of why we would need to take this specific step rather than using traditional methodology.
Thank you, and identify yourself for the record.
Chair Hoyle, members, good afternoon. Dexter Johnson, Legislative Council. And Chair Hoyle, Representative Kennemore, as I mentioned last Monday, there is a process in place for that Representative Barnhart mentioned, that every session there is a revisor's bill to deal with correcting errors that are very non-controversial. And there is a second process in place for kind of taking a wholesale look at areas of the law that need updating, and that's through the Oregon Law Commission. And they will come forward after taking a long time, usually involving work groups with experts and legislative council staffs, that those kind of work groups as well. They will present cleanup measures to you that take a wholesale look at particular areas of law. But between the two, there is a gap. And this bill would address that gap, where it is, in order to do the housekeeping, needs to be more substantive than merely correcting scrivener's errors, but not so controversial that it would need the effort of the Law Commission in order to develop the proposals that you would consider.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Legislative Counsel, is there anything in law right now that prevents the governor's office with working with you in the interim to look at specific areas where this might be a problem and submitting legislation in the normal course of the governor's powers to submit legislation to fix these problems?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Berger, no.
Thank you.
And in fact, that
Thank
happens
you.
All the time.
And it happens all the time. So this would be an extension in law, and it, specifically the exemption from ORS 171.130 that says they could do it any time during the legislative session, not just pre-session filing.
It would go beyond where the executive branch agencies now have. It would not be any time. It would be subject to the same legislative deadlines that you all are
subject to. That I am subject to. And, Madam Chair, follow-up?
Yes.
With regard to Section 2, how enforceable is it? My colleague to my right seems to think that it isn't enforceable under the rule. It looks to me like statute. Would you like me to read it?
Representative Chair, I'm sorry, Chair Hoyle, Representative Berger, it can be not withstood at any time. So if a member sought to amend a bill that was one of these bills brought forward under this section with something unrelated to this, we would simply in the amendment say notwithstanding Section 2 as part of that amendment.
In other words, it has no force, Section 2.
Again, it does, but it would certainly not prevent the legislature from notwithstanding it.
The legislature, how about individual members?
Well, the amendment, once it's adopted, is an act of the legislature.
Okay.
So the amendment being drafted would notwithstand it. I would note that you could, and if the legislature passed this proposal, it would certainly be something that, to make this work, you might want to consider amending House and Senate rules to also provide for essentially what is the same as Section 2. And the reason I bring that up is because in the past, when these kind of gap housekeeping measures have been attempted, they have become very popular vehicles for proposals that otherwise would not stand on their own.
Thank you.
Representative Hicks.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Does this create a balance of powers issue?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Hicks, no, because this is, again, the legislature is not constrained from accepting itself from Section 2.
Madam Chair.
Well, actually, Representative Kennema.
Thank you. You know, in the last hearing, I questioned Mr. Wolf about not terribly controversial. It was intriguing to me that you used this time not so controversial. which I guess suggests something to me that is troublesome, and that is apparently this is not a very scientific enterprise. It's more one of value judgments then. It's interesting. I remember back in 87 when I first arrived here in the Senate, a discussion about how these things were not controversial, about some of the old procedures, and this is, I got to say, troubling to me. I guess, and I've been stewing about it in my own private little minor thoughts. What's constitutional and what isn't? And sometimes it depends on the issue before me and how strongly I feel, I'm afraid. It was sort of my conclusion. And I thought, are we going to have footnotes? This is more controversial, or on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 2, and this is an 11, or I don't know that there's an answer that I'm asking for. I guess I'm more by way of making a comment that I think we are moving into controversial stuff. It's going to be quite controversial what's in there, and I do think the separation of powers is a pretty darn legitimate question, and I am troubled by that. I think part of the wisdom of our system is in the separation of powers, and when we allow one other branch to intrude significantly, and depending on how controversial you are, could be quite significantly, and it leads the discussion, and frankly that's whatever the print is from which we work, and if we're not careful, which is what is ultimately accepted, to my kind of surprise, I'm finding myself getting more and more uncomfortable with this.
Okay, Representative Holvey and then Representative Berger.
I'll pass. I'll save my remarks for the floor.
So thank you. I appreciate the conversation. It was something that occurred to me, as you know, in our first initial hearing on this was this whole delegation that we won't do amendments to a particular bill. And, with the notwithstanding language, we can go ahead and, make an amendment if we so chose at a later date. And certainly the legislature still has the power to pass or not pass the bill. I don't see that that's been taken away. I guess I didn't really look up the ORS particularly, but about the governor's power in this, because it seems the bill specifically directs legislative counsel and the Department of Justice to do this undertaking. So where does the governor's power come into play?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Holvey, this any bill that is brought forward under, assuming the legislature passes this bill, any bill that then is brought forward is simply a proposed a measure that the legislature must pass before it becomes law. So I don't see this as changing any of the fundamental structure, constitutional structure of state government. The legislature, it simply is another way to put proposals in front of the legislature, but it will not become law without the legislature enacting and the governor signing following that enactment.
Representative Jensen. You.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would certainly I'd like to point out that legislature always has the right and ability to change the law, the statute. One of the actions that is always available for them is the process of eliminating, doing away with. So it's possible. We can argue, and I think some of you have been hinting at that argument, possible for a future legislature, if this doesn't prove to be you know, what satisfactory, then we can come back and change the bill. But I'd point out that the governor already has, and it's unlikely for us to be able to take it away from him, the power of the veto. So he can very quickly veto any provision that, if we find this, as I fear we will, to be an infringement upon the separation of powers, the process of getting rid of a law like this is much more complicated than it might seem to be on the surface. And with that, I would respectfully decline to vote yes on the bill.
Representative Kenmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dexter, I guess your comment has me questioning, quote, as I got it, another way to put a measure before the legislature. How is this another way? And I guess a follow-up question, too, does that add to his power?
The Chair Hoyle, Representative Kenmer, the only way is that this directs the Office of Legislative Counsel and the Department of Justice to work together to come up with what, in their view, is our statutes that need some kind of that are obsolete or outdated or duplicative. And when DOJ and LC come to an agreement, this area of the law needs this work, a measure will be drafted, and LC will be drafted and introduced the way the governor has other bills introduced. And then it would be simply a measure that you would consider.
Follow-up question, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under whose direction does LC and Department of Justice function? Under the governor's direction, the administration, or I guess I'm kind of finding some interesting questions about government here.
Chair Hoyle, Representative Kenmer, LC functions under the direction formally of the Legislative Council Committee, and we, as a practical matter, we take direction from all 90 members of the Legislative Assembly. We do not take direction from the governor.
That's okay. That's what I thought. And?
The Department of Justice serves as the executive branch's attorneys, and they are led by the Attorney General, who is an independently elected statewide official, but they represent and serve as the attorneys for the governor and executive branch agents.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Yes.
I want to submit. I see the utility of this. I recognize certainly there are competing interests and concerns, all very valid. Separation of powers, yes, LC has been asked and has answered that question, and so I'm satisfied with LC's answer on that matter. How often do I hear from various corners, why don't you guys, for every law you pass, repeal one? Why don't you guys repeal a few laws for a change? And so in response to that, as I told the committee last time we heard this bill, I did ask DOJ to formally inquire if there are any laws that we could go ahead and repeal. And the reason I went to DOJ, I didn't go to Dexter, I went to DOJ because they have the experts, the subject matter experts in their legal fields. If anybody would know what the laws are that are either outmoded, obsolete, duplicative, or conflicting, then it would be them. And the answer came back, because we don't use those laws, nobody knows what they are. And so the effort to actually repeal some laws is far more monumental, I submit, than it ought to be, or would appear to be in the land of theory. And so I say pass a bill and put them on the task formally. I think a lot of citizens out there, and I'm going to be a mere citizen soon myself, so I won't be part of the next legislature to consider whatever comes out of this. But they would like to see us repeal a few laws for a change, so I'm ready to vote it out.
Okay. Any other discussion before we move this? We have a motion on the table, so I would like to ask for a roll call vote. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Motion for the bill.
Representative Burton?
No.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Kenner?
No.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hicks?
Aye.
Vice Chair Holby?
Aye.
Chair Boyle?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. And Representative Barnhart, will you carry this on the floor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Please plan to meet Wednesday and Friday of this week, and we'll see you Wednesday, and thank you so much. Committee adjourned. What do I do?
Okay.